The Holy Gospel according to John, the 3rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. We'd like to invite the children forward.
Into it. Make sure you're.
Is it on? Good morning. How are you guys? Did anybody get sick this week? You got sick. Uh-oh. What happened? Did you have to go to the doctor? Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay. And now you're all better. Oh, I'm glad, because I got a cold, and I'm hoping I'm getting old better, too. So, have you all had to go to the doctor?
Yeah.
You got a shot. Oh, was it icky?
No, it really hurt. I screamed for dear life.
You did. I don't blame you a bit. I hate shots. Of course, I give a lot of them, but anyway. So what, when you're sick and mom or dad take you to the doctor and you have to get a shot, why? What would happen if you got sick and there wasn't any doctor to go to? What would happen? Do you know?
Maybe you could stay home and your parents could take care of you.
Yes, you could stay home and your parents take care of you. Sometimes parents just don't know what to do. They just don't know what to do when their children are sick. So in Africa, in Tanzania, there in the country we live in, there are 22 million children under age 15 and no hospital for them. No special hospital for children. So that's what we're doing. We're building that hospital. So when you wake up each morning, how do you know that you're loved? How do you know that you're loved? That's right. And so your folks say, I love you. And sunshine. Okay. What else? What else do we get every day that let us know we're loved? As you say, we wake up. We wake up. We have a world. We have parents that let us know that we're loved. And so God gives us all kinds of gifts to let us know that we're loved. But I'm going to give each one of you one of these little animals from Africa. Put your hand out. So that you know how it's, God loves every single, come on, you got to come closer. I'm not moving. It's your job. Okay? These are little bitty African animals. Because God loves all of his children, including the ones that are here and the ones that are in Africa, okay? So let's say a quick little prayer, okay? Holy Spirit, Thank you for each day. Thank you for all of your gifts to us. Even the doctors. Amen. Okay. No, you got the one you want? Did you get one? You wanted that one? Okay. Which one do you want? You can keep that. You want a different one? Okay, that's enough. Go sit down. Fifteen children, 33 grandchildren. We have 12 great-grands and 3 more on the way. There's a reason to work overseas, folks. You want to go first? There's a mic up there. Is that mic live?
Yeah, mic works.
Okay.
Oh my. It isn't often that I get to go first.
My servant.
I had a very wise Irish grandfather, and he told me one day, he said, Denny, you always want to get the last word. He said, I always do. He said, Grandma tells me what to do, and I say, okay. So I'm going to turn this over to Paula then.
What, you want to go back down there and see
yeah,
how?
Yeah, I think I have.
Denny's got a bursitis in his hip, so it's causing him to not get around quite so splendidly. I'm going to talk to you about 4 different things today that kind of relate IHP to life. The challenges that we have faced over the years, how Jesus approached challenges. We call them challenges, you know, and they're not problems anymore. Tools for managing those challenges, and then a little admonition poem from Mother Teresa. IHP, International Health Partners, we're doing our 3rd project now. This one is a pediatric hospital, because as I told the children, there are so many children there and no pediatric hospital. Now, some hospitals have a pediatric ward, but some do not. And they just put the children in with the adults. There are only 26 practicing pediatricians in the entire country. And 16 of those are in Dar es Salaam. So a great big part of what we do is teaching, teaching, teaching. Iambi Hospital was our first hospital project. It had been a leprosarium, and then it became a general hospital. And when the missionaries all left Tanzania after it got its independence in 1961, the government found out they really couldn't afford to run those hospitals. And they went down the tubes, a lot of them. Iambi Hospital was in the Central Diocese. And the bishop there asked us to come back and do a survey to see if that hospital could be restored. And so when we got there, we discovered that there was no water and no electricity. That is a challenge to run a hospital. Try running a 170-bed hospital with toilets that don't flush. But there was a well about a mile away, mile and a half maybe. And it had a windmill on it that the Australians had put in the 1950s. And so we went to the Catholic sisters because they had a windmill that worked and asked them who we could go to find to help us make it work. And we did that. We got Samueli the water fundi, and he came and showed us how to make it work. But then the problem was getting the water up to the hospital because we had the big tower up there. And so the village chairman, who was a good Muslim, said, well, look, let's do a line of sight. We'll dig a ditch, lay a pipe, and get the water up here. So that's what they did. There was the challenge. Everyone in the village was given 3 weeks to dig so many meters. They assigned each
set of meters to one family that could dig, because it had been a leprosarium and there were 500 former leprosy patients in the village, and not all of them could dig. But those that could dug the line, they dug the ditch, and the water started coming up to the hospital for the whole village. And then one morning, it came to me and they said, "Mama, Mama, there's no water, there's no water." All right, let's go figure out why. Well, it turns out that one of the men down on the farther end who had some cattle had discovered that that pipe really wasn't buried very deep. And all he had to do was chop into it, and he could have this nice pond of water for his cattle. So we went down and had a conversation with him about the larger purpose. Well, I think we even put a spigot so that he could have water for his cattle. But in Tanzanian society, relationships are the most important thing that there is. We are a results-based society. They are a relationship-based society. And so no matter what anybody does, you keep them in the fold. You don't make them your enemies. And so this farmer or this cattleman was kept within the community with love, not pushed away. And we all had water, including his cows. After 4 years at Iambi Hospital, we went from seeing two or three patients a day to seeing 100 to 110 patients a day. And we went from, three inpatients when we got there to about 80% occupancy most of the time. The Lutheran church there, the people that we trained in, felt ready to take over. We said, okay, we'll go back to Arkansas and retire. Well, that didn't work, because as soon as we announced we were leaving, we got calls from 6 bishops all around the country saying, please come do for us what you did for them. We were offered 13 projects. We looked at 6, and we chose Mwanza as the place of most need, and with the infrastructure that we needed. There was a building there that we could turn into a medical clinic. There was a house for us to live in, and the church owned 32 acres of land. So over 6 years, we built Nyakato Health Center. By the time we left there, we had 122,000 active charts. During that time was when we came to the realization of the lack of care for children. And so we had started buying the property at Zynga. And when we stepped off in faith to start this project, we had $35. $35 and a whole lot of faith that when you do God's work, God's behind you, and you just step out and start doing it. And you all helped us to do that, and we are very grateful for that. Mary Ellen Kitundu, who was the third of us, it was Mary Ellen, Denny, and I that started International Health Partners. She was a nurse educator. And so we joined with an Anglican university and started St. John's University School of Nursing. We now have 930 students in our program. And I'll go on and tell you a lot more about this. If you want to know about it, you can come here and hear our presentation during the Sunday school hour. But when you're facing challenges, we as Christians look to Christ. And what did Christ do? When Christ faced a challenge, what did he do? Prayer. Hello, thank you. Jesus always went to prayer first. And so he never came from a sense of lack, only from a sense of love. There is plenty because God gives us all we need. So let's start with the story of the loaves and the fishes. Everybody knows that story. all the people had come to hear, and there were so many people, and it was taking longer. And so people were starting to get tired and hungry and thirsty. And there were 12 baskets, and Jesus said, okay, let's just start. He walked into the crowd. Now, my theory, mind you, I am married to a Scandinavian. I don't know how many of you will get this. My theory is that the fish was lutefisk. And so they got one little bite and said, Lord, I couldn't eat another bite. My husband said, I underestimate the power of lutefisk. Anyway, here's what I think happened. I think Jesus walked into that crowd and just started giving away. And this couple over here, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, she said, Herman, you know, we did bring those sandwiches. We can split them and share them. And somebody over here had a goat skin of yogurt, and somebody that back there had brought some wine, and so forth and so on, and someone over here had some more loaves of bread that they hadn't put in the baskets. And we discovered that what God gave us was each other, and that what we have, we share, and there is enough. Because when it was all done, were there not 12 baskets left over? It is God that gives so that we can give away. Now, my mother was a psychologist. And she always, with her patients, she always said they have to write themselves well. There was a book that was written in the 80s, maybe, called Women Who Love Too Much. And in the back of that book were some tools for redirecting how you behave. And we have restructured that a little bit as a letter to God. So in the first of the 6 steps, you write your letter, Dear God, this is what happened. Now, usually when you're doing this, it's not because you're so thrilled with something, okay? Usually it's out of a sense of unfairness. And so you write, this is what happened. As objectively as you can, you write that down. And then the second step is, this is what I think. Now, you know, as parents, we all know that sometimes when you deny your child something they want, they come back with, I hate you. But as your parent, as you are parents, you know that you love them. Well, the same is true with our Heavenly Father. And once in a while, when you don't like what's happening to you, you can let God know it. And you know what? God can take it and love you anyway. So you can write down exactly what you think about what happened. And then the third step is, this is what I feel. I feel I didn't deserve this. I didn't sign up for this. This isn't what I wanted. And you can just rip it. You can let God know that you have been cheated or lied to or he failed you or whatever. You can write that down and God can take it. The fourth step, which for me is always the hardest one, is this is what I want. God, I want you in my life. God, help me the next time. Before I step out without you, to step out with you. This is what I want. This is what I will do. This is step number 5. I will ask first for your presence. I will think about what would Jesus do. I will have you in my life. I will look at this knowing that you love me as well as my enemies. And the last step is, this is what I will not do. I will not step out on my own. I will not go forward without you in my life, God. I will not just be the queen or the king. I will have you in my life, and I will not go forward without you. Because it is with our relationship with God that we have our success in life. I'm going to read you, I don't know if you'd call it a poem or an admonition, by Mother Teresa. It's called Do It Anyway. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you may spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find sincerity and happiness, others, or serenity and happiness, others may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you have anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. That's from Mother Teresa. All right, Denny's going to come back up here and have the last word. No, they can't hear you.
The last word is, we'd like to see all of you in the fellowship hall after for a cup of coffee and to get a brief summary of the work that we're doing out in Tanganyika or Tanzania. And I'm warning you, we're going to try to enlist all of you either to come out and help us build this hospital or support the people that do come out to help us. We often have a group of people every month that volunteers that come out to help us, either with the medical or with the construction. And I see many very interested faces here. We'll give you more information in the last word.
Okay. No, I get the last word. We have things for sale in the fellowship hall now, that are made by our neighbors to help build the hospital for their kids. Thank you.